the longtime original voice of the Nashville Predators is the great Pete Weber. We haven't talked to him for a while, and he's on prior to game one. Welcome to the show, Pete. How are you?
Thank you very much. And hey, with John Scott, he was a perfectly great guest for me, so I'm sure he will be for you.
Oh, but we should ask the questions that you asked.
No, I think he's just a great guest.
He is good. Sure. Yeah, he is a great guest, and he's a good guy, too. I mean, we played in the Baycrest Pro-Am here, the big hockey tournament in support of Alzheimer's, and he was there and very good with his time. And it was funny because, you know, Pete, he was very, I felt, uncomfortable with all those All-Star, you know, proceedings. And, of course, the All-Star game was in Nashville, and he didn't necessarily want to be the center of attention. And a comment like this, you know you're going to be the center of attention once again.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the crowd absolutely loved him from the outset. So he had that sort of support going behind him the entirety of All-Star Weekend. Then we run into him, his wife, and the almost year-old twins in the stroller at the All-Star game in Los Angeles and reconnected there. You got to love a guy who went to college and got an engineering degree and then was able to engineer a pretty nice NHL career out of it.
He is Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators. Game one goes tonight. So we had a discussion a little earlier on the 18-year history of the Preds and David Poile when it comes into that. And I've always, especially living in the West for so long, I've always looked at the Predators as, boy, an enviable organization. They had, I always said they were Detroit without the cups in terms of culture and continuity, and you knew what they were going to get. And I meant it as a compliment.
Yeah, just that little caveat.
Yeah, I mean, and so Ben, my partner here, kind of approached it. It's like, well, yeah, we can throw all the accolades we want at the Preds, but if they're so great, why did it take so long? I mean, what's the right answer here?
I think the right answer is the, first of all, the conference and division in which they were put. When you are always looking at Detroit at the high end of the bar and trying to, you know, move yourself up that level. Well, it took a couple of years before they won a game in Detroit. Great Cliff Ronning overtime goal as he, I know you're going to be shocked to hear this, but he beat Larry Murphy to the puck down the side and then banked one in off Manny Legacy in overtime to win it. But the whole fact of the matter is, in one way, it helped having Detroit there to set the bar so they knew what they had to do. And I try to tell David Poile, just pay some spy to just trail Håkan Andersson, the European scout, all over the continent, and pay attention to where he focuses his eyes, and then you have a chance to draft them before he does.
But it is incredible, Pete, that, 18 years that you would stick with the same general manager, having never made a conference final before this year. Now you're in your first Stanley Cup final. But, you don't see that very often in North American professional sports, that an executive would last that long without some really incredible successes.
Well, think about Nashville. Their first major professional sports franchises, the Titans and the Predators, once they set up shop in Middle Tennessee in 1998, both teams had the same coach and the same general manager for, I believe it was 13 years. That certainly doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So the fans of Middle Tennessee aren't really yet accustomed to what we go through in other cities that I've experienced.
Would you say, Pete, that maybe David Poile, as good as a general manager that I believe he is, do you think he was maybe ahead of his time in the sense of, he's always built from the crease out? I mean, it's always there's been two coaches in franchise history, but there hasn't been that many more goalies, to be quite honest. And we all know from the Webbers and the Timonens and the Francons and the Suitors and go down the list, the defensemen that David Poile has drafted and developed. Now, defensemen more than ever are worth their weight in gold, and he's got four great ones. I wonder if he was almost ahead of his time a little bit, because they've never gone the way of, you know, the first overall, you know, franchise forward.
Yeah, and that's interesting, isn't it? Because trace it back also to his time in Washington and just the bevy of defensemen he had there. Though I will argue, I think this group is probably better than any of those. Certainly there's nobody on a Harley smoking cigarettes all the time like Ally Brady, but that's another matter. But think about the defensemen this organization has lost or traded over the last 6 years. Dan Hamhuis, Ryan Suter, then the trade for Ryan Johansson, sending Seth Jones, which you knew was a chip David didn't want to pay But he also figured he had to do that to get his first ever true number one center for this franchise. And then, of course, the PK Subban deal from Montreal for Shea Weber. That's still a pretty good top four back there after all those moves.
So, yeah, in evaluating the series and the game tonight, I think a lot of people are looking at, well, okay, so the Penguins certainly have the better depth up the middle, especially without Ryan Johansson, but that top four that the Predators can throw at you, I mean, which one supersedes the other?
That's the question we're going to see begin to unfold here this evening. That's going to be, fun, interesting, whatever adjective you want to just, attach to that, to watch beginning here this evening. And also maybe a little side battle, if you will. Maybe Patrick Hornqvist trying to outshine James Neal from that trade a couple of years ago, too.
Pete Weber joins us. We've all seen the Predators crowd and the fan base and taken over the town, and it's amazing. And you know what? We kind of coupled it with the criticisms of Ottawa a little bit, and that kind of seemed to shine the spotlight even more on this market. When we think of new franchises, I know the Preds have been around for 18 years. There's a difference between passion and excitement and craziness of the games and actual knowledge. And I'm not saying it happened this year. I'm sure it happened in the past. When was the moment for you, Pete, that it was the Predators fan base became more of a knowledgeable fan base as opposed to just, crazy?
When I started getting questions about other teams more than just Predators players, that showed me they were paying attention on a sort of a league-wide perspective. And that really was happening, just before we had to shut down for the full year in 2004-05. The fans, I think, have been, we were teaching hockey 101 in the early years, and now I'd have to say if we were to bring those courses back, they would be at graduate-level courses. Who knows? I'm sure from our fan base right now, we have some who would qualify as Rhodes Scholars.
All right, so let's get to the serious stuff here now, Pete, because we saw some of the incredible names that sang the anthem already this postseason, and we're all waiting with bated breath for Game 3 in Nashville. I mean, you're a guy in the know. Can you give us an indication? Have you heard whispers? Do you have any idea?
I've been asked if Terry Crisp and I would be willing to do a duet.
Okay.
And that's all I can say.
Might be a bit of a letdown, to be quite honest with you.
No, not a bit of a letdown. It would be perhaps the hugest disappointment, maybe more huge than those I experienced after Wide Right in Super Bowl 25 in Buffalo.
It should probably be, and I know maybe the current name isn't as big, but because of his longtime support for the organization, it probably should be Vince
Gill. Dennis?
Vince Gill, should it not? No, not Dennis. Dennis is done. It should be Vince Gill. Pardon me?
Vince has already performed one. With his two daughters. I think that was in the St. Louis series.
Oh, okay. All right. So not Vince Gill.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's...
We're kind of thinking of a guy who's a friend of the players who participated in the skills competition at the All-Star game.
Dirks?
I think he'd be a good candidate.
I would agree with that. I'd be on board for Dirks Bentley.
I don't know who that is. Does he wear a cowboy hat?
Trisha Yearwood's husband, he's got a first name like Garth.
Yeah. So that was the guy.
Ben would know him as a former San Diego Padre farmhand, is what.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw him in spring training.
Pete, enjoy. Actually, you know what? Before I just tell you to enjoy it, can you elaborate a little bit? Because I saw the picture on Twitter the other day of all the original Preds, and there's no players in there. It's you. It's Crispy. It's David Poile. It's a couple of the trainers, the equipment guys, the guys that have been there since day one.
Jerry Helper.
Brent Peterson, wonderful man. And the Stanley Cup final begins tonight. I mean, can you put into words how exciting it is?
It has been something we've been attempting to put into words since late last Monday night after winning the Western Conference in the Clarence Campbell Bowl, which we were all very careful not to touch for the post-game photos down in the dressing room. But it really, for people who were involved in the birthing of the franchise, I guess we'd have to say, and you consider the passage of time, this is like probably what it was like for my parents actually seeing me graduate high school. They thought I'd never get out of there. And, roughly the same period of time, I think it's that same sense of pride.
Pete, enjoy game one tonight. Long time coming.
Thank you very much, and that was one of